If you would like a free newsletter on this or other subjects, just give us a call at Christian Answers. The phone number is area code 512-218-8022. That's 512-218-8022. Or you could email us at cdebater@aol.com. That's cdebater@aol.com. Thank you.
Welcome to our program. I'm Larry Wessels, Director of Christian Answers, and I'm here with our Director of Research for Christian Answers, Steve Morrison. Steve, always great to have you here.
Thanks.
Well, Steve, we're going to do a special broadcast here, our topical video. This is a shorter broadcast than normal. We're going to cover a topic that we've been meaning to cover for a long time. We just haven't got around to it. You'd think we'd have already, done something on it by now. Seems like we've covered almost every religion that's out there, but we haven't covered Buddhism yet. Mm-hmm. And so that'll be the subject of today's broadcast. We're going to analyze the religion of Buddhism from a biblical perspective, see what they believe, and then see how it can be approached from an evangelical position, you know, biblically, to reach someone for Christ. Steve, let's get into this. The viewers are watching this to find out about Buddhism. What can you begin to tell us about this religion?
Well, first of all, if you compare Buddhism with Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, there are differences in all of them, not just in belief, but in what's important. Buddhism, while it came out of Hinduism, has some fundamental differences. But both Buddhism and Hinduism, is like the actual beliefs don't matter so much. For example, when I was leading a Bible study at work one time, and there was a Buddhist who was coming, and one day, he told me that what attracted him to Christianity was that in Buddhism, there was really nothing that said where we came from, or why we're here, or really where we're going. And Christianity had answers for that. And one day after the Bible study, he asked me, "Will Christianity do me any good if I don't make Jesus the Lord and Savior of my life?" And I said, "Well, maybe in a few small ways, but basically no. It's sort of, you have to accept him as Lord or not." And the countenance on his face changed. And he obviously didn't like that answer at all. And he said, "Well, in Buddhism, I can read anything I want, and anything that I accept, and anything I can reject, and I still be a good Buddhist." And he didn't come to the Bible study any after that. But that's kind of the difference. You're kind of your own boss, your own Lord in Buddhism to pick and feel what you want. While in Christianity, we have a submission to God through Jesus Christ. So there's some fundamental differences in emphases, not just difference in doctrines. Some good questions to ask Buddhists if you share the gospel with them is ask them why they personally bought into the ideas of Buddhism. Maybe they just don't have a good reason. They just sort of grew up in it, and maybe never really thought about it. Second, what does Buddhism teach about who we are? Then what do they believe happens to us after we die? And next, what does Buddhism teaching do for them personally? And then what problems does this teaching solve for a Buddhist? And finally, ask a Buddhist, how does this belief make the life better, and in what ways? And these are some questions that were kind of come up with by my friend, Dave Geisler, and some of this material came from him, and some of it's mine. But anyway, so these are good questions to ask him. Let me tell you that most Buddhists don't really know a lot about Buddhism, about Buddha or Buddhism. We'll share a few things, but probably when you talk to a Buddhist, their history isn't all that important. But basically, Buddha was this guy who lived about 563 to 43 B.C. Some of the stuff written about him might be legendary, but he was, as far as I know, a real person, and it was really true. He would say what he actually taught was close to, maybe you might think of, somewhat almost, but not quite, atheistic. And Buddhism, as he taught it, is sort of followed by what's called Theravada Buddhists today. And most Buddhists are not, Theravada Buddhists tend to be in Sri Lanka, in Vietnam, and in Indochina, places like that. Most Buddhists are not Theravada Buddhists. Most Buddhists are very much into idolatry. They're called Mahayana Buddhists, which means greater vehicle, and they disparagingly call the Theravada Himayana, but Theravada Buddhists don't like to be known as Himayana, which means lesser vehicle. And Mahayana, they stress that some people who could reach Nirvana have delayed going in order to help others. And they have all these idols and everything else. But Buddhism, as Buddha taught it, didn't have these idols. And the scriptures that came after he died, the Buddhist scriptures, the original ones were called the Tridipaka, or three baskets. Most Buddhists today don't, if they know about them, they don't read them. Some of them, they have the Diamond Sutra, and they have all these other scriptures that really were centuries and centuries after Buddha. And so it's kind of like they've evolved, and what Buddha really said didn't really matter so much. So we'll go a little bit over what Buddha said for the sake of Theravada Buddhism, and then we'll branch into other things about pantheism in general. First of all, they said that there are four noble truths. The first, they say, is all life is suffering. Well, certainly from the Bible and the book of Job, which shows that life does have suffering. However, the suffering can be worthwhile. You know, Hebrews 12:2 says that Jesus endured the cross, you know, because of the joy set before him. And we have suffering in this life, but 1 Peter shows that the suffering that we have is nothing compared to the joy that we have in heaven. Okay? So, and Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Okay, that's in Romans 8:18. Okay, anyway, the Buddha said the second truth is all suffering is caused by ignorance of the nature of reality. Craving, attachment, and grasping are results of that ignorance. Well, some of it could be that, you know, maybe if you're an alcoholic and you don't know that alcohol is bad for you, you could have suffering from that. But a lot of times you do know, and it's a problem of will, it's not ignorance. Also, let's say during World War II, when many Jews were being killed by the Nazis, was the Jews' suffering caused by the Jews' ignorance? No. You could say from the Nazis' evil, but all suffering isn't caused by a person's own ignorance. Okay. The Buddha says that, third point, suffering can be ended by overcoming ignorance and attachment. So by not caring anymore, then they say you can overcome suffering. Now, this is a radical different philosophy than Christianity. For example, I heard of a lady in Thailand, and her son ran away from home, probably to join a drug gang or something like that. And she went to a Christian missionary to ask for advice, and she went to a Buddhist to ask for advice. And the Christian missionary said, "Don't give up on him, keep loving him, keep praying for him, and do what you can to get him back." And the Buddhist told her, "Well, he's gone, you know, don't become attached, just kind of like... don't worry about it anymore." And that sort of fatalism in Buddhism might be, ideas have consequences. And, you know, in many countries you see about some of the despots and the dictatorships. Maybe that's because many of the citizens just have this fatalism that what will be, and don't be attached to anything. And if some guy comes in and destroys your village and kills all these people because he's a terrible tyrant, well, just don't be attached. Okay? And, the fourth point that, and according to Buddha, and this is a Theravada, the original Buddhism, is the noble eightfold path is the way to suppression of suffering. And the eightfold path has been described as right views, right intentions, right speech, right actions, right livelihood, right effort, right mindedness, and right meditation. So it's all do these things, with maybe more of an emphasis on attitude, that this will give you freedom from suffering. Now, if you look at this, all of this kind of says that the problem is within. It's your own ignorance. It's not evil. It's ignorance. And the problem and the solution is within, just to enlighten yourself and to know about this. Okay. Well, there are a lot of problems with that because, you know, what if you're the one that's the problem? A lot of Buddhism, says that the world is like an illusion. And that nirvana, heaven, well, first of all, they say the world is an illusion. And say, well, you know, is money an illusion? Yeah. Can I have all your illusions? You know, so some things, we regardless of whether they say it's illusion or not, we live as though many things are not illusion. Okay, now, what do you call a place where there's no love, no hate either, no happiness, no sadness, no nothing at all? In Buddhist theology, that's called nirvana, where there's no emotion, there's no desire, there's no suffering. Almost, in my mind, I picture it was like an icy cold kind of place of inanimate things. So the Buddhism doesn't just affect your doctrine and affect your mind. It also affects your heart. Is that really the place that you want to go, where there's no love, no joy, no nothing, no desires at all? You know, I have a desire to worship God, and I always have a desire to love, and I think that, you know, by God's grace, I'll always have those desires. So it's not just doctrine, but they want to go a different place. Okay? So anything you want to add about the basic Buddhism before we go into different parts?
Well, to me, it just sounds like, if I come home from work and I'm tired, and a lot of times what I do is I pop a TV dinner in the microwave and I get some chocolate milk going, you know, and I sit down and eat a little breakfast and usually I'll unwind on the couch and turn on the boob tube for just a little while I'm eating. I don't sit there all day and watch it or anything, but you're flipping the channels and you've got these guys giving me advice on self-help programs, such as, you know, you can make your finances better. You can improve your body with these kind of exercise materials, or this real estate program will really help your situation. There's just all these devices that people have on TV that you can call a 1-800 number and get involved, because apparently they've got the best advice to help you out, to make you a better person and improve your stature in this world. Well, to me, it sounds like Buddha and Buddhism is very similar to that in the sense that here's this guy, Buddha, that he's not really claiming, hey, there's a God or you've got to submit yourself to him or any of these things. He's just got some motivational advice that's supposed to help you in this life, much like these ads you see on TV. And you buy into my advice, well, then it's going to help you move into this nirvana stage, or it's going to help you move to this other level through your own efforts, through your own practices of my advice. So that is, to me, that's almost it's almost like salesmanship of a motivational product rather than any kind of service to God in the sense of how we understand the word deity, mm-hmm. where you would worship, venerate, serve God, try to live by God's moral laws. In this case, it's not that at all. It's a man giving his advice on what he thinks you ought to do with your life and how you should live your life. And then people, you know, he's like the ultimate salesman that, you know, he just happened to get more people calling this 1-800 number than other people. And they've massed around him, and it's become like a religion without God almost. It's like they've made a religion
out of it. Yeah.
Yeah. They've made a religion out of just doing self-motivational things that are supposed to help you to achieve some personal goals. And things of that nature.
Yeah.
So I see that as completely alien, not only, of course, to biblical Christianity in one of the greatest senses, but then it's alien to most of your other pagan religions that are out there that have you serving gods or gods of one stripe or another. So this kind of puts it in a different level, and it kind of reminds me, too, of a debate I was listening to between an atheist and a Christian, and The point was brought up, well, how can you say that Christianity is the one true religion and all these other religions are false? And, of course, the Christian theologian made his arguments, and they were very plausible arguments, you know, for the trustworthiness of the Bible, archaeological evidence, prophetic evidence. But then when they turned to the atheist to get his comment, he said, well, I think all religions are false, of course. But, you know, if I were to pick any religion, I think it's false too, I would pick Buddhism. It's close. And I thought it was interesting that the atheist, looking at all the different religions, liked Buddhism.
Saw Buddhism as the closest one.
More than anything else he saw out there.
Okay.
So I see that kind of tying in, because it's easy to see how Buddhism can operate without a deity. You know? Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, a Vietnamese a friend of mine, when she was in Vietnam, she visited a Buddhist nun one time. And actually, I'm not sure if this is Vietnam, but when she visited a Buddhist nun, she was very impressed by that nun's lifestyle and dedication. But and this was Theravada Buddhism, I should add. But anyway, when she left, she thought, you know, the nun, everything she did, though, was for herself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this kind of gets to some of the differences within Buddhism. There are actually at least 30 different schools of Buddhism. Some, like Nichiren and Shoshu in Japan and around World War II, were actually very militaristic and violent. And then some, like Zen Buddhism, is pretty much as much a philosophy. It might keep you from God, but they don't really say anything about God at all. And Mahayana Buddhism has been called Hinduized Buddhism. Now, in Theravada Buddhism, an individual person is like on their own. While in Mahayana Buddhism, they have these things that people that kind of correspond to saints called bodhisattvas that help man. Now, in Christianity, we say that man is a child of God and that it's God that saves man. Now, in Theravada Buddhism, they're kind of going for wisdom and enlightenment are their key things, while Mahayana Buddhism is more compassion. And in Christianity, our three virtues, you would say, would be faith, hope, and love, with the greatest being love, in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, the ideal saint in Theravada is called an arhat, and in Mahayana is called a bodhisattva. And, of course, Jesus is the ideal in Christianity. So, Theravada says that Buddha is a saint, corresponds to a saint, but they don't worship Buddha. They don't have, you know, all these things, but Mahayana is really big on the idolatry. So, it's like combining almost, not quite the pagan Greco-Roman gods, but almost, you know, almost like the Hindu ideas of the Hindu pantheon, you know, God worship inside there. While in Christianity, of course, there's one, there's only one inseparable God, but three distinct persons. Now, Mahayana criticizes Theravada as saying the Theravada, they're not concerned about others. And the Theravada criticized the Mahayana by saying that, well, they worship Buddha and others, but then that's not what Buddha actually taught. So why do you call yourself a Buddhist if you don't follow Buddha's teachings? So, and there are other scriptures too, and the different Mahayana groups are probably over 5,000 books that are scriptures. And actually reading all of them, I don't get the impression is really very important for the typical Buddhist. Okay, so, and there are many, many legends about Buddha that came up, and there's one thing that is about Christianity that is alien to Buddhism. And so when you share this with a Buddhist, you're going to have to go slow for them to get the concept. Some things can be verifiable or falsifiable. We can have evidence to show that Christianity is true. The Buddhists, as from what I've seen, they never say, I have evidence Christianity is false or Buddhism is true. They don't think that there is any evidence. It's all just a matter of just sheer opinion. Okay, and it is pretty much in Buddhism, and they would think, well, all other religions, aren't they the same way? No, Christianity has evidence for the resurrection, the fulfilled prophecies, the witness of blood. And so Christianity, when you show archaeological evidence supporting this, the Buddhist is not so much he initially will disagree with it as he might not understand what's evidence for. But the thing is that everything can't be true. There's toxic religion. There are wrong things that look good but lead you astray. And how do you know what's true and false? You have to look at the evidence from God. So Buddhists really have to kind of get over the hurdle of understanding that. Now, Buddhism is a major form of pantheism. And someone once, and while some Buddhists think that you can be a Buddhist and be a Christian too, actually you can't. There's a big difference between saying there's only one God versus saying there are many gods, versus saying there's no God. It's sort of like if somebody said, I have one father, and somebody else said, no, you have many fathers, and somebody else said, you have no father. All three can't be right. So, you know, you want one or many. Also, if you want to go to heaven, are there many ways to heaven? Well, it depends. If you want to go to God's house, you have to go to God's heaven His way. If you were on an island, and there was a bridge off the island, let's say a hurricane was coming, which road should you take? It doesn't really matter too much which road you take, as long as you want to stay on the island. But if you want to get off the island, you have to go over the bridge, and the bridge is Jesus Christ. And so, you know, when they say that, you know, it doesn't matter what you believe, because someone could become a Confucianist, a Taoist, and a Buddhist, and change, and not have a big problem with that, as long as you don't want to get off the island, then I guess it doesn't matter. But you have to go through the bridge of Jesus to get off the island. So they have to realize that Jesus is not a way to God. Jesus is the one and only way to God. Okay, Jesus is not just a son of God. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. And there is not just a reading and a learning, but there's a commitment involved. In 2 Timothy 3:7, it talks about some ungodly people. It says they're always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. Okay, it doesn't matter what you learn if it goes in one ear out the other. It doesn't matter what you learn if you don't believe it. What do you affirm? What do you acknowledge? What have you made a decision on? And that Buddhists, you have to get them to see that they have to some important decisions to make. And actually not Buddhists, just Buddhists, but everybody. You have important decisions to make about life. Will you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or will you not? And you need to read the Bible and look at the evidence for it and make a decision.
Very well said, because when it comes to Buddhism or any religion out there, it comes back down, if you're a Christian evangelist, you're going to have to bridge that semantic barrier, that worldview that they have, and try to bring them to an understanding of what the Bible's talking about. The problem in Buddhism is it's so alien, as you were saying before, on some concepts, that to Christianity, that you have to go slow with them just to even try to get them to understand what you're talking about. Now, I had an opportunity to talk to a Buddhist last year, and I remember the Buddhist was very irritated because they overheard me talking to someone else, and I had made the point clear that Jesus is the only way to God, as you were mentioning, the bridge to get off the island. You have to have Jesus Christ, according to what the Bible says, as your Savior. He's the only one that can save you from the wrath of God, which is to come, according to what the Scripture teach. It's not what the Buddhism teaches, but it's what the Scripture teaches. And I was dealing with this individual, showing that you must believe certain things or else you're going to be damned by this righteous and holy God. Well, the Buddhist lady was upset that I told this other person that, and so I then went into my usual, well, look, the Bible says this, and the Bible, I don't believe the Bible, the person says, and don't talk to me, I pray to Buddha, and I said, wait a minute now, most Buddhists don't believe in a God. They're more like agnostics or atheists. You must be one of those other kind of Buddhists that actually make Buddha into like a God that you would pray to. And there are certain Buddhist sects that do that.
So probably the majority of Buddhists today, actually.
Yeah. In fact, this particular person is from Vietnam. So obviously. And I then got her even more upset, not intentionally. But I simply said, look, if you're going to pray to God, you can't pray to Buddha. You've got to pray to the God who's really there. Buddha himself said he was just a man. He didn't even claim to know about any God.
He didn't create everything.
Right.
He never claimed he created everything.
Either. Right. And it was interesting with this particular person, the more I talked to him about Buddhism and what it believed, the more they didn't want to hear it. So what you find is, a lot of Buddhists, particularly I guess here in this country where we are, in America, aren't any more interested in hearing the truth about God or even their own religion as a lot of so-called Christians are in the Christian church when you start giving them some of those unpopular Bible doctrines that they don't really want to hear about. But the point of the matter is a lot of Buddhists can be approached and talked to, but it sort of ends up, unless the Spirit of God is in it, like you mentioned at the beginning of this broadcast where you were talking to the guy that showed up at the Bible study, but after you told him a few things, he didn't like what you had to say, and you never saw him again.
Yeah, he was actually a coworker, but he wanted to be in charge, and they want, I think they want a religion where they call the shots, basically.
Well, that's it. In fact, this particular Buddhist I'm talking about that I had this conversation with is one of these real me personalities, so everything has to be about them, and they want to be in control, and it really ties back into everything you were saying before about some of the concepts of Buddhism, and it plays out in our everyday lives. So anyway, do you have any? We're starting to run out of time here. Is there any other specifics that our viewers would want to know about Buddhism that you could share with us?
Well, basically, after asking Buddhists, what answers does Buddhism have? What does Buddhism do for you? Why are you a Buddhist? Then they may ask you the same questions, and if they do, that's only fair, and that's great actually. And share with them what the Bible says about how God has created us for His glory. We have a special purpose to have relationship with God, and we don't have to be in the dark about the cosmos. Is that we know that God made creation. We don't worship creation; we worship God. But that God has made us to live with Him forever, and God would like them to live with Him forever. And ultimately, you have a choice: do you want to live with God? Or you not want to live in God? You want to get off the island? You want to not get off the island? And we only go around once in life. It's appointed unto man to die once in Hebrews. We need to make a decision now. We just can't procrastinate.
That's right. And as the viewers can see on a chart there at home, just a little bit of doctrinal information to go along with this subject of Buddhism. Their idea of God, as you can see there, there is no absolute God in Buddhism. Although many have interpreted Buddhism as a search for God, the Buddha did not deny the existence of God outright, but said that the question of His existence, quote, tends not to edification, end quote. That is, those seeking enlightenment need to concentrate on their own spiritual paths themselves, rather than relying on an outside support. The Buddha did not claim divinity or even a divine source for his teachings. He saw himself as only an example to fellow monks and compared his teachings to a raft that should be left behind once the other side of the river has been reached. Many Buddhists believe the existence of suffering and evil in the world is evidence against belief in God. Although belief in an ultimate God is opposed by nearly all Buddhists, the Mahayana school developed notions of the Buddha as still existing for the sake of men and propounded the existence of many semi-divine beings who came to be represented in art and have been revered in ways very similar to worship of Hindu gods. So I guess what I'm saying, Steve, is we've got about a minute to go. As you can see, Buddhism goes directly against the God of the Bible, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ and His gospel. Those who would believe it would be, of course, according to the scripture, the Christian doctrine, be damned for their unbelief in the gospel of Christ and the belief in the Son of God. And at the same time, it degenerates within itself into making semi-gods like mm-hmm. Hinduism, making Buddha into a god, to deny the existence of God. And even Buddha himself says to even think about the existence of God is not unto edification.
Mm-hmm.
So the religion itself is, in theological terms, seemingly a confused mess. So any final words?
Well, Buddha basically said to seek for the truth within. And Christianity says seek for the truth above. And that we can't get to heaven ourselves. We can't even find our own way to heaven. It's God who came down and showed us. And we can follow His path, or we can try to make up our own.
Because the Bible says that the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? We are dead in our sins and trespasses. Mm-hmm. And so to trust yourself when you're a wicked sinner, according to what the God of the Bible says, is almost one of the worst places you can go mm-hmm. to try to find the truth. But anyway, with that, Steve, we're out of time. Those who want more information on this subject are welcome to write Christian Answers. We have brochures and tracts, other information you can write for our catalog. Also, if you'd like to get on our newsletter subscription list, we can give it to you free. Please call us or write us for that. Anyway, thank you again, Steve, for being with us. Steve is the Director of Research for Christian Answers. I'm Larry Wessels, Director of Christian Answers, and join us again next time for this broadcast. God bless you all.
check out our websites. BibleQuery.org. This site answers 7,700 Bible questions. HistoryCart.com. This site reveals early church history and doctrine, proving Roman Catholicism is not historically or doctrinally viable. MuslimHope.com. This site is a classic refutation of Islam, a counterfeit religion created by Muhammad. Free newsletters are also available.